The House version of the tax reform bill contains a provision that is troubling to many nonprofit and faith-based organizations, a repeal of the Johnson Amendment, a 1954 measure that says they should not endorse political candidates or have the ability to run money through their organizations for political gain. According to Lisa Murayama, president and CEO of the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofit Organizations, the proposal, which could be the law of the land by Christmas, could threaten the separation of church and state and the very survival of nonprofits.
I think that this is a really, really scary move for the House to make. And basically, what this does is really muddy the missions of charitable nonprofits as well as churches. I think that if your organization is being used as a vessel for the pass-through of potentially dark money, used for political endorsement, for electioneering, then for your average constituent that relies on the very critical mission-based work that your organization is doing, there becomes a question in the minds of donors and constituents as to what the true intentions are of those charitable nonprofits. I think up until now, it's been very clear that mission-based work has been very pure. And any kind of weakening or repeal of the Johnson Amendment erodes that trust, that integrity that nonprofit, charitable nonprofits, foundations, and churches have always upheld in our communities nationwide.
Making it possible for me to say, I'm going to give you $1 million, you a nonprofit, if you will hew this particular
political
line.
Absolutely. Can you imagine the conversations in a boardroom where you've got board members no longer just interested in furthering or advancing your mission, but come with political affiliations on both sides, any kinds of political affiliations, mm-hmm. and trying to motivate the actions of the board and the staff toward some kind of political gain, those conversations will no longer be true. They'll
be
colored.
In a note to us, you described this, the original intent of the Johnson Amendment, as protecting churches and nonprofits from politics. It also seems as if we need to protect politics from them, in a sense.
Absolutely, right. I mean, these have been great excuses for nonprofits to not have to get involved, to stay out of the fray, really. And for there to be no question as to their nonpartisanship. And we already have a lot of preoccupations already, survival, financial challenges, capacity issues. We can't lay over into that politics, basically, to further complicate things.
Does this hit right at the foundation, the notion of the separation of church and state?
That too, and really the very existence of our tax-exempt status, I think, that we've been designated for years. It calls into question, the community good that we are doing currently should exempt us from having to be involved in those types of activities. So it is very foundational.
Most of the time, nonprofits, tax-exempt status is the only reason they can function.
Right. And, actually, some of the opponents of any change to the Johnson Amendment have actually said that there's quite a bit of money that will be lost by the federal government, actually, if donors who previously were paying taxes on political donations and contributions will now look to nonprofit vehicles as tax shelters where they no longer need to pay. So the revenue that the federal government will receive will decrease significantly if everybody is looking for these nonprofit vehicles in which to put their, place their money.
This seems to go against past Republican, and this is a Republican notion, this repeal, right? And yet it
largely
seems to
yes.
go against past Republican notions. I'm thinking of Bush Sr. and the 1,000 Points of Light saying that nonprofits will now take care of the social safety net. This seems to work against that, no?
I think so, too, yes. I think this is really a minority voice of right evangelical perspectives that really want to see, in their eyes, freedom of speech, the ability to preach from the pulpit, to endorse from the pulpit, and to have more play and say in the political environment with the money that they can then raise.
Given that this is a minority view, why does it have such a good chance of passage? It seems to be there's a pretty much a groundswell of opposition Or is there?
There is a groundswell of opposition. Thank you. Yes. Most people are opposed to any kind of tampering with the Johnson Amendment. And yet somehow this actually harks back to the National Prayer Breakfast, in which President Trump actually said that he wanted to, you know, totally destroy the Johnson Amendment to give more voice to churches. And there are now several vehicles going forward in Congress. The latest has actually been embedded in the tax reform package out of the House. It does not exist on the Senate side as of yet. And so because the deliberations are currently in the Senate, where there is no change, we really want there to be voices from the community, from communities across the country, to really voice their support of the Johnson Amendment to keep it intact.
Has that happened from Hawaii nonprofits?
Yes, actually. So there had been our national office, the National Council of Nonprofits, initiated a letter-writing campaign. 5,500 organizations have signed on to keep the Johnson Amendment intact, including about 100 nonprofits or organizations from Hawaii. And there has been representation from every state in the country to keep the Johnson Amendment intact.
It goes back to when? It's named after Lyndon Johnson, when he was a Texas senator.
Yes, then Senator Lyndon B. Johnson made this amendment in 1954, actually, and basically, very clearly, to keep nonprofits and churches out of politics.
Has it been challenged between then and now?
I don't think so. No, it's been untouched.
I'm just wondering why it became such an issue in such a short time.
Well, again, I think it's because of some of the statements that were made by President Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast, basically making, you know, a mandate that he would like to see the Johnson Amendment, you know, basically go away.
Just in terms of strategy, thinking about Republican strategy, I'm wondering if this could backfire on them, because they're kind of getting under the covers with a pretty volatile community, the evangelical community.
Sure.
And banking on their approval.
Right. I mean, because there's a lot of money, I guess, in some of the mega churches that exist around the country. And so there's maybe this eye toward more, you know, being able to raise more for the political coffers, for the campaign coffers. And maybe that has something to do with it. I really don't know. The sponsor of some of the bills has been Senator Langford out of Oklahoma, and he's a former pastor. So some of the, I guess, architects of some of these bills going forward in Congress actually have this kind of faith-based experience.
With mega churches as a large economic
possibly, right,
factor.
With their eye toward megachurches. I'm not sure. And it's very interesting, the dynamics going on right now. And it's very dangerous that it's being implanted within the tax reform package. There are so many other troubling aspects of that tax reform package as they affect nonprofits. But this one potentially can be pretty fundamentally earth-shattering, I think, for the nonprofit industry.
Could be law of the land by Christmas, right?
The fear is that they're going very fast, and the Senate actually has the ability to pass this out by the end of this week. They're debating it now on the Senate floor, mm-hmm. but they hope to get it to President Trump by Christmas for his signing. So ridiculously fast, without any ability by advocates to weigh in and to see how the sausage is being made, actually. And so it's very worrisome. Again, there is a difference between the House and Senate version, but there is a conference kind of committee that will happen over the next couple of weeks where all of that will be sorted out. And the fear is that any kind of weakening to the Johnson Amendment will pop up in the final version. So we need to be vigilant.
And the fear, unless what happens? I mean, there's a
if the final version does not have any kind of attempt to weaken the Johnson Amendment, then I think basically we are just talking about tax reform. You know, we're not talking about these other types of add-ons. And so we just have to look to see what those conversations are around this particular amendment.
Lisa Moriyama is the president and CEO of the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofit Organizations. You can learn more about the Johnson Amendment on the Conversations Facebook page.